97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Do you mind repeating what you said previously about the polio vaccine?
Do you support it?
Yeah, it's supported.
Yep, RFK Jr. there. He will go before a Senate committee today and get some pretty tough questions on his nomination. And we will find out a lot more about that coming up here in just a few minutes. And fortunate enough to have Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt joining us live this morning. And Eric, great to have you on the air. How are you?
I'm good, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. I saw you tweet out a picture of yourself with RFK Jr. yesterday. Will you be at the hearing today?
I won't. So I'm not on the health committee where he'll be in front of. I'm the Commerce Committee. So Howard Lutnick will be up for the Commerce Secretary position. And then tomorrow on Judiciary, we got Cash Patel tomorrow and Tulsi Gabbard's in front of the Intel Committee. So it's a busy week for confirmations. But clearly the RFK Jr. hearing today, I think, will dominate the news.
I'm sure it will. I know that we've got him, we've got Tulsi Gabbard and Cash Patel tomorrow. What are you hearing? Are the votes going to be there for any or all of them?
I think they're all in pretty good shape. The speculation is that Tulsi, who I support all of them, is still working on making sure that she has the numbers. And as we saw last week, these can be pretty tight with Pete Hegseth. It was 50-50, and then J.D. Vance had to break the tie. So, I mean, we've got a majority, but not, we can't lose too many people. And I would just try to encourage my colleagues here that, we just came off a pretty historic election, the greatest comeback in political history, in American political history. And an election that was truly defined in my mind as the disruptors versus the establishment. And so you look at these picks, that is the one common theme that you have, whether it's RFK or Tulsi Gabbard or Cash Patel. These are people who are going to go in, change the culture from the inside, which is what we really need. And President Trump deserves to have the ability to kind of pick his team here. And so that's why I'm supporting them, and I'm hoping we can get them all across the finish line.
It's true. Senator Eric Schmidt on the phone with us this morning. Big hearings today there on Capitol Hill. Eric, the winning will never get old, but even yesterday I watched Caroline Leavitt's news conference here at the White House, and she's having to argue with these reporters over issues like, getting rid of criminal aliens, and they all seem flabbergasted by what Donald Trump has accomplished in just a little more than 1 week. It's amazing.
I was at the in the rotunda there for the inaugural ceremony. That feels like a lot longer than just 9 days ago. Yeah. It really does. It feels like, these are like dog years. But I think part of that is just the flurry of activity. I mean, President Trump has put together a really good team and means business. And there's a lot to do, of course. We saw the, sort of the wake of the destructive policies that we had under Joe Biden. And in many ways, he's reversing those. So there's a lot to do on that front. But I think he's also, setting an agenda that really does lead to a golden age of prosperity and restoring our standing around the world. And those aren't just talking points. I mean, you look and see what happened this weekend with the Colombian president, threatening turning away a flight of criminal illegal aliens being returned back to his country. And President Trump said, well, that's interesting. I'm on the eighth hole. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to slap a 25% tariff, and we're going to cancel all your visa applications. And then the president turned around and said, I've rethought this, and you can use my plane to bring them back. So it's just so different to have somebody who's competent, who's a leader in that position. It just, as an American, take away the red and blue jerseys for a second. As an American, it's important to have somebody who is respected around the world. And so it's an exciting time. There's a lot to do. But I feel like this is you kind of get a sense there's, people want to call it a vibe shift or whatever. It's just different. Culturally, it's different. I'm sure you see it. You saw during the election, I spent a lot of time campaigning with President Trump on that plane, going to different states. RFK was, on some of those trips. And so you just get a feel for what's going on. I've never seen anything like this, and I think he's remade the Republican Party into a broader, more diverse, working class party that really sets the stage for long-term success too. So it's exciting.
It is, and it's fun to watch from this distance. I know there was a meeting with was it just House members, or were there Senate members too at Doral?
That's the House.
That was
so they've
just
got
House.
Their retreat. Yeah, they've got their retreat down there while we're while we're working here to confirm these nominations.
Right. So after being in the legislature here in Missouri, and then you watched it as a statewide elected official, we have a super majority in Missouri and still can't get things done. There's such a slim majority, though, between the House and the Senate right now. How confident are you that they can move some of his agenda items forward? I mean, it's going to be touch and go, it appears to me, with some of these people like Murkowski and Collins and Thomas Massey, who don't want to seem to get on board.
Yeah, I worry a little bit more about the House because it is a 1-3 seat majority. It'll get a little bit bigger, but you know, there's just always things that happen. But I will say, glasses half full. I think, unlike, I wasn't here during, you know, I was AG during President Trump's first term, but I think a big difference is there's a lot more people now that have come in, myself included, Josh Hawley included, the Missouri delegation, a lot of Missouri delegation that has seen what's happened with this movement and understands how important it is to deliver for the American people, and including, you know, Republicans that have supported these efforts to give us these majorities, right? So I think that there is a sense of urgency about it. Also, you have in the backdrop all these tax cuts that were passed in 2017 are set to expire at the end of this year. So there is this other shot clock that exists, I think. But for me, my perspective is I wish and I would hope, but we'll see, that we would get some early wins on the border, even things like this Iron Dome for America, get that stuff, get those wins in the bank, and then deal with the tax provisions a little bit later in the year, knowing that we've absolutely got to get them done. If you've got them in one big bill, I think it just creates more potential problems. But look, at the end of the day, I don't care that much. I just want to get it done.
Yeah.
So those are kind of like more strategic questions. But ultimately, I'm pretty confident that we're going to deliver. There's so much on the line, and the American people sort of gave this opportunity, and I don't want to squander it.
Eric Schmidt with us, of course, a U.S. Senator. Eric, I want to respect your time here. I know you got to get going. I've known you for a long time, since before you were in elected office. I appreciate the fact that you remember what it was like to be one of us on the outside looking in. I have for years wondered how in the world the U.S. got away with sending $50 million to foreign countries for condoms. I mean, when I heard Caroline Leavitt describe this yesterday, I wanted to throw my head through the wall over here. And now that you're there, they're acting like you cut off somebody's arm if you don't want to spend that money. What's going on?
Well, I'm home every week, right? I fly back and forth. And, the boy from Bridgeton, that's never going to change. But I think the deal is, Mark, is I've tried to, because I've asked myself this question too, you know, because the conversations here are just so different from people who've been here for a very long time than the conversations you have at home. It's sort of like what really was striking for me last year in particular was the focus. I mean, even in our internal conferences, the focus is on the Ukraine funding. I don't understand it. It's not a core national interest in the United States. You have to be focused on the homeland, Indo-Pacific, China, all that. But the energy that we spent and the money we spent, $200 billion, there was not a single person in Missouri, well, maybe one, but one person in Missouri who ever came up to me and said, you know, Eric, the most important thing I want you to do up there is send another $60 billion to Ukraine. It never happened. So I think you just have to maintain, for me at least, the perspective of, you know, the folks who are listening to your show right now. Like, that's who I represent. I do not represent the think tanks and the folks at the cocktail parties here in Washington, D.C. And I think if you kind of keep that as your North Star, there's a lot of things we can accomplish and some real reform along the way.
Well, we appreciate it, and we appreciate you giving us a few minutes this morning. Senator Eric Schmidt, thank you.
All right, brother. Take care.
Yep. Good talking to you. I used to have Eric on when I did my weekend show years ago here on 97.1 on Sunday nights. He would come on, and at that point he was a state senator, I think. And then he, of course, moved on to the statewide positions as a treasurer and attorney general. And I've just known him. I have known him since when he first announced he was going to seek a Senate seat. I've known him for a long time, and I think he's right. He's got still got that down to earth common sense that we appreciate. All right, we'll get to a quick break here. We've still got our friend Todd Pyro is going to join us this morning and talk about what's going on up in New York and D.C. and some of the crazy reactions after that news conference by Caroline Leavitt yesterday. Next hour, we will get to our friend Charles Payne and Annie Fry. Host of the Annie Fry Show is going to join us in studio at about 8:45. We'll be back in just a minute.
No more condoms or contraception to the Taliban. No more teaching them how to weave carpets. No more funding drag shows to Ecuador at $20,000 a clip or atheism to Nepal at $500,000 for a grant. No more transgender operas. That was in Colombia. That was a real thing for, I say, $47,000 to $50,000 under the Biden administration. There was a transgender comic book that they put out for whatever amount of money in Peru. These are all things that come to an end under Secretary Rubio and President Trump and myself as Foreign Affairs Chair and the Republican-led country.
Now, Mark Cox, Soapbox.
I love what Senator Schmidt said just a minute ago. They are in denial in D.C., disbelief. And then yesterday, with the announcement of this freeze on spending, it has turned into abject terror for the liberal establishment in Washington, D.C. Think about it. It all because of this spending freeze. Now, Donald Trump's accomplished a lot in his first 8 days, or however long it's been now. What is it, Wednesday? 9 days? It's been pretty amazing. But the left is racing around like somebody has cut their left arm off because Donald Trump wants to freeze and then look at ways to stop wasting federal taxpayer dollars overseas. I would love you to find me someone who thinks it's a priority that we fund foreign language comic books that are inappropriate in other countries. Why are my tax dollars being spent on that? That's what's being asked right now. There is zero accountability in Washington, D.C. for trillions of dollars. And here's what you have to worry about, right? What's Doge supposed to do? Elon Musk and Ramaswamy, I know he's not in it anymore, but their plan was to look at ways the government could be more effective. Well, what's a big one? Well, how about offering people a payout if they want to leave government service? Donald Trump did that yesterday to all 2 million federal employees. If you're unhappy about having to come back to work, we'll submit your resignation. We'll pay you through September, and then you can go do whatever you want. That's one way to trim it down. But this is an example of how difficult it's going to be for Doge to cut the fat in Washington, D.C. All this money was ready to go out the door, right? And now they can't believe it. They can't believe you would stop spending $50 million on condoms for the Hamas terrorists in Gaza. They were filling them with helium and explosives and floating them over the border into Israel. This is what they were doing with the condoms. I would love it if it cut down on the birth rate in Palestine, because we could certainly use fewer of them. But that's not what they were using them for at all. It's an outrageous example, but it shows how the bureaucrats in this country have turned on us. They have absolutely turned on us. You would have thought that they lost a family member yesterday because all their pet projects and payouts were going to be paused, like supporting LGBTQ plus crap overseas and drag shows in South American countries. I play this all the time, and it's about my favorite drop, but it's absolutely the truth.
It's never too early to learn that the government is a greedy piglet that suckles on a taxpayer's teat until they have sore, chapped nipples.
All right, so here's the thing. The establishment figured they would be okay no matter what Donald Trump tried because there were Republicans, rhino, yellow-bellied Republicans, and Democrats who all go in on this together. They've been there forever, like Senator Schmidt said. It's a different attitude. And they figured, well, if I rub his back, he'll rub mine. And we'll still be able to get our pet projects funded to go to these NGOs to be spent on stuff that no American would care about if they knew about it. We just need to be quiet about it. So, but what President Trump announced yesterday freaked him out. Imagine it freaked him out so badly that 23 attorneys general, including Letitia James up in New York, had to run out and find a Democrat-appointed judge who would step in and pause this till they could have a hearing out of fear that it would do serious damage. Even though the administration told them it's not going to pause Medicare, it's not going to pause Medicaid, it's not going to pause whatever money you get from the federal government, none of that's going away. That's not what this is about. It's about grants and other things, right? You get to watch this in real time. And they have figured out a way to fool the American people on how they're really spending your hard-earned tax dollars. It's another reason that when Donald Trump suggested earlier this week we get rid of the income tax, they went apoplectic because they pray at the altar of big government, right? It's like draining a retention pond in California in the middle of a fire season. It's unthinkable. But they did that, by the way. How could you turn off the flow of precious money that they know how to spend better than you do? And the establishment is now afraid that maybe they won't win. If they go to court and lose this and Donald Trump can get away with this, what are they going to do? Here's the bottom line for us, for the people listening to my program. This is going to be a lot more fun than even I thought it was going to be, because we're watching it right now in real time, exactly what we've talked about on this program for years and years and years. Our government is so big and so bloated that reining it in might be impossible. It might. I know what DOGE wants to do. It might be impossible. But it sure as hell going to be a lot of fun to watch Donald Trump try to do it. And along the way, we can all enjoy watching the mental health decline of all the liberal bureaucrats in America. We'll be back.
For me, Captain America represents a lot of different things, and I don't think the term, you know, America should be one of those representations.
Oh, who needs Anthony Mackie to be Captain America when we have our own Captain America? Ladies and gentlemen, Todd Pyro, how are you?
I should be Captain America. I should be Superman, Batman. I mean, right now, for those of you that are out there and big into the Disney stuff, and have watched maybe movies with your girls, maybe some of your boys, I don't know, I don't judge. I am Flynn Rider in my household, and I don't know if, Mark, you probably don't know who Flynn Rider is.
I do not.
But, Kim, are you there?
No,
Kim's off today, but it's Tangled.
Correct.
Oh,
correct.
Okay. I've not seen that one. Okay.
Now, ironically, here you go. You ready for this?
Yes.
There's a tie into the what we do. Flynn Rider, this movie came out in 2010, before Frozen. First of all, it's an amazing movie. It really is good, like legitimately good. But the actor who played Flynn Rider is now one of these Hollywood guys that is all aboard the Trump train.
Oh.
Zachary Levi.
Okay.
We've had him on multiple programs here. Isn't that wild?
It is.
It's just insane, the synergy that's going on.
I've been watching this Captain. I've been watching the trailers for Captain America, and obviously, it's not Steve Rogers anymore, right? They've changed characters here, and I was still willing to go give it a look, maybe. But once this Mackie guy came out and said what he said, that you got to separate Captain America from America, I'm like, dude, you should have really thought that through a little bit more. Before you said that, because now I don't really have, if that's what he thinks, I don't have any interest in seeing it.
Yeah, missed the boat on that. especially when you look at like what is doing well in Hollywood. What has done well? Top Gun.
Yeah.
The remake, you know, very, very patriotic. Yeah. Let's go through all the Oscar nominees right now. Ready? Exactly. Nobody knows any of these movies.
I don't know any of them.
Because they are all artsy-fartsy films that have no commercial appeal. Nobody's telling the wife, hey, wife, let's go have date night and watch the movie about transgender surgeries that is going to get, like, that got all the nominations. Like, yeah. That is not happening. People don't want that. And if you needed any further proof, look at the results from November 5th.
Yep.
Right?
That's a great point, Todd.
So maybe these movies are doing well in art houses in L.A. and New York, but people don't want this crap. I consistently say this. What do people want? They want Wedding Crashers 2. We need to make it happen.
Thank you. Why did they not make a sequel to that movie? They teased
Such
us.
Such a great point.
I know. Yeah.
If I am part of this crew that wants to, like, appeal to Trump, and I have billions upon billions of dollars, I fund this thing. And this isn't a joke, because for Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, if all these guys got together and started a production company just for this movie, yeah, you know Vince Vaughn's on board. Vince Vaughn was at the inauguration.
He might be getting a little long in the tooth to play that role these days, right?
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
I'm just thinking. Vince Vaughn going to weddings and picking up 25-year-old bridesmaids.
He's a pioneer. He poisoned his mom's oatmeal. Erroneous. Erroneous. Erroneous on both counts. I know this movie perfectly. It's the greatest movie. We need to make a second one.
You leave Dorothy Mantooth out of your mouth. Is that what he said?
Also a great Vince Vaughn line.
Yes, thank you.
Dorothy Mantooth is a saint.
Dorothy Mantooth is a saint. I love that. That was a great movie, too. Was that Anchorman 1 or 2? Which is when he said that. Was that 1? Yeah, 2 was kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Anchorman 2 was, there's some funny moments in Anchorman 2.
I agree with you. I agree with you completely. Wow. So let's talk about what's in the news right now up in New York. What are they starting to call what's Kristi Noem's new nickname? Ice Barbie. I saw on Twitter yesterday there's some left wingers are trying to call her the Ice Barbie because she had an ice flak jacket on walking around during raids.
Okay, a couple things.
Yeah.
Having done those raids, they require you at certain points to wear the flak jacket. Okay, sometimes they have for me, sometimes they haven't. Second, I'm sorry. She's a good-looking woman.
Mm-hmm.
She shouldn't have this job because she's a good-looking woman.
Thank you. I know you. I didn't say it. I'm just saying that's what the left is doing to criticize her already.
Irrelevant to the job. If she gets illegal aliens out of our country and oversees that, if when we have our next national emergency, weather or otherwise, because this happens, this is life, there are weather events, if she handles it perfectly and all that other stuff, why would her looks matter one way or another?
I'm with you. I mean, I never saw Mayorkas wearing one of those and attending any activities at all to protect the border or protect American citizens, ever.
Yeah, because he didn't.
Right.
It's pretty simple one there. But, yeah, I'm sorry. She's good looking. Like, okay, let's move on. But she wanted this job. You know, she was reported on multiple shows yesterday in Fox that she specifically, like, went to Trump and said, like, I'm looking for the next step. This is what I want because this is the hardest job.
Wow.
And so here we go. He gave it to her. Let's roll.
The next image I want to see is her on horseback, because when she was governor out there, she used to do some cattle roundup every year, and she'd right, actually participate in it riding a horse. And again, she looked like a runway model while doing it. But if she could involve horseback in collecting some of these illegals, I think that would be fantastic. What an image.
So you want to see it in New York City, like some random gal on a horse riding through the Bronx?
Yeah, it's like it's like Elf, where they have the horse patrol, the mounted horse patrol in the park there, right?
The New York Park Rangers.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. They had a problem with the Simon and Garfunkel concert in 83. Was that one?
That was it. Oh my gosh! Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I've enjoyed this. I had Eric Schmidt on earlier this morning, Todd. Earlier this hour, and we were talking about the drop and flop that the media had during that news conference yesterday at the mere suggestion that we freeze money that we're sending out the door to foreign countries and NGOs just to look at where the money's going before we let it go, and they lost their mind and acted like people on Medicaid weren't going to get their money, checks.
They went ballistic because they are so indoctrinated to the world of government just giving money to people because why not? Any potential introspection on that front, no, we can't have that. Can't, absolutely not. That's not how government works. We just give $36 trillion to other countries. Absolutely cannot. Speaking of giving things to people, I don't know how much time we have left. When are you giving us Nolan Arredondo?
Arenado? I don't know.
Whatever the hell his name is.
I think the Cardinals are actively trying to trade him. I imagine they're trying to get something in return for it. We're in one of those funny years here, Todd, where we've basically accepted the fact that this is a rebuilding year. And okay. So the people are for sale.
Well, not the, my issue is when you announce that,
yes.
Usually you ruin your own bargaining position.
Well, I know they haven't.
In turn, you can't accept, like, you can't demand that the other teams give you a lot. Just give them to us. We'll eat some money.
They haven't said that, but I'm saying it. I mean, they're basically bringing in a new general manager next year, right? To replace Mozeliak, but they're going to keep Mozeliak around for one more year, and then they're going to let the other guy just kind of languish and work on the minor league system until then, you know, developing talent. Well, what does that tell you? They're not going to go out and spend a bunch of money on big talent. They're just going to wait and see what happens this year.
Fine.
That's a rebuilding
year. Give them to the Yankees. Get them off your books. Do this as Mark Cox and St. Louis. I do this hit every week. Do this as a favor to me. Talk to your representatives. Get them to put a little pressure on the Cardinals just to get this done. Just do it for me.
Well,
it would be, you know how like you send me a shirt? By the way, love that shirt that you sent, the long sleeve. Great.
Yeah.
This would be something your viewers can do, your listeners, excuse me.
Well, we'll see what we can do, Todd. We will. But he's already turned down one trade, so we'll see. We were going to send him, to Houston or somewhere? I can't remember. And he didn't want to go there. So maybe he'll want to go to the Big Apple.
That's right.
We'll see.
On horseback with Cristino.
that might be enough to get him up there. I don't know. I don't know Nolan personally. Todd, thank you, my friend.
Have a great one.
You too. See you later. Todd Pyro, host of Fox and Friends First. Love to get him on here. Whole lot of common sense right there in that man. Let me tell you what. All right, quick break here. We are going to get to Nolan. Noah Weinrich, I called him Nolan because of Nolan Arenado. He is with the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to get to him coming up, sitting in for Genevieve Wood, right, at about 8:20. We'll be right back. Yeah, I'm sure that's the first song you think of when you think of Chuck Berry.
Carl.
Right, Sue Thomas.
Oh, no, don't you blame me for this. I had Roll Over Beethoven ready to go.
Yeah,
really.
But
and
when Carl Carl brought that up, I'm like, but wasn't that his number one hit?
It's his only number one hit.
Thank you. That was his number one hit.
Yeah, it's true.
Why would I bring that up?
It's just funny.
It is funny, but I bring it up because Sue is doing another one of her fantastic History of the Lou with Sue this weekend and interviewed Chuck Berry Jr. And you sent us a great picture. We've got it up on the socials. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube this morning or X, Rumble, you can see it up there. What a great picture.
Well, thanks for that. And Charles Berry Jr. is awesome. He worked in IT for years and years at Anheuser-Busch and IBM. He's just a really smart, laid-back guy. And we went over the history of his dad, Chuck Berry. And of course, Chuck Berry is pretty much straight up St. Louis, right? He went to school here and worked here. In fact, his family, some of his uncles, were in carpentry, and they were really high-quality carpenters. And Chuck, for a while, before he got into music, was a concrete finisher. And, you know, he's got Berry Park all the way out in Wentzville, Missouri. And that's kind of the family home. That's where Chuck Berry lived. It was 150 acres. He used to have concerts there, and he'd fly people in by a helicopter, and they'd land out there and have huge concerts and shows. But some of the concrete finishing work out there was done by Chuck himself. It's a really interesting story. So it's a kid who worked in regular jobs, had a family that was kind of musical. His sisters or aunts played piano, and he picked up a little of that. Had a friend who had a guitar. And back then, according to his son, you would make your own. If you didn't have enough money or whatever, you would just make your own guitar. And that's what Chuck did.
Wow.
And eventually got good enough that he would get called in as a fill-in for local bands if somebody couldn't show. And then the Johnny Johnson Trio was in town, and they needed a guitar player, and they called him, and he was so good, Chuck, because, you know, Johnny Johnson was incredible, an incredible pianist, but he didn't have he was more laid back, and Chuck has this, as you know, huge personality, and was such a character on stage that stuck. And that's kind of what launched him. And he went to see Muddy Waters in Chicago. And he said, how in the world do I get a record deal? And he said, here's who you go see at Chess Records.
Wow.
And they kind of started from there. And, you know, Maybelline was their first real hit. And it was just the country song Ida Red. But, and you'll hear this in the show because Charles Berry Jr. talks about his dad would listen to country. He would listen to blues. He would listen to just a variety of what was on the radio. And he kind of just condensed that into his own music. But there was a song called Ida Red, and it was a country song. And he brought that back as a demo. And they said, no, you can't do somebody else's music. So they just rewrote it, different lyrics, and saw a tube of lipstick in the... in the actual studio that was Maybelline. He said, that's what, we'll call it Maybelline, redid it, and that turned out to be their first major hit.
Wow.
It's just a really cool story. Yep.
Maybelline, why can't you be true?
I love that. I love everything about it.
It's just cool, yeah.
Did you ever have the pleasure of going to Blueberry Hill and seeing him?
I went to Blueberry Hill, but did not see him. That was my own fault, Mark. I assume you went.
I never got an opportunity. One time I had tickets. I was working the morning show at Channel 4, and I don't know if it was there was weather or something, and I knew I had to get up early, and I didn't go, and it's one of my biggest regrets because I never got to see him play down there.
It was once a month.
Yes. I know. He played pretty regularly for a while.
Yeah, every Wednesday he would appear there, and... And Joe Edwards actually kind of expanded and called it the Duck Room for the Duck Walk for Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
And he was there for, he played up till 2014, and he didn't pass away until he was 90. So that was his late 80s. He was still playing there. And it was just a gift.
So what's the legacy for the family? Does he talk about that? I mean, are any of them continuing? And are there musicians out there named Berry that I've not heard of, or what are they doing?
Well, what's interesting is he was the idol of, the British Revolution. When all of the British invasion, when they came over, they all idolized Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting time, but we'll talk about that. But yes, in 2026, Chuck Berry was born in 1926. So 2026, of course, would have been his 100th birthday. And some of his relatives, including Charles Berry Jr., are putting out an EP every so often, like quarterly, to just a revisiting of his music.
Yeah.
And a production company is thinking of doing either a story of his life. They may make it a mini series. They may make it a series. But Morgan Freeman is behind that production company. And they're going to do something about the story of his life there as well.
Well, what a great story. I mean, it's just people automatically know who you're talking about, no matter where you are in the country or the world. If you talk about Chuck Berry, and he was born, raised, died right here in the greater St. Louis area. And, you know, I mean.
Yeah, one of the fathers of rock and roll.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
The king of rock and roll, some people would argue. I remember having that argument before that it didn't belong to Elvis, but it belonged to Chuck Berry.
Yeah, there are
people that will make that argument. So remind people, Sue, where they can listen to the show this weekend.
Okay. It will be on this station, 97.1, on Sunday at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., and on KMOX on Saturday at 1 p.m. and KMOX Sunday at 4 p.m.
Awesome. And you can pick up the podcast, too. When will that be available?
Usually after the first one airs.
Okay.
So sometime this weekend on Odyssey.com.
Cool. Hopefully people will download that and listen as well. Sue Thomas, you're the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, you bet. Coming up next hour, we're going to get to Charles Payne, one of our favorite guests here. We're getting Charles back this week. Talk about what's going on maybe with the new Chinese AI and how it affected the NASDAQ and some of the tech stocks this week. We'll get to him on that. And our friend Annie Fry is going to swing by because it is Lutheran Schools Week, and Annie is trying to help fund some scholarship money. And we're going to help her out here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about, you know, the splash Trump has made nationally since he got elected and sworn in 8 days ago. It was amazing. We'll get Andy in here in about an hour. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.